On our last broadcast, I began the message entitled, Why People Leave Church, Part 2. And we learned that people leave church because God is pruning His church. And secondly, people leave church because God is proving His church. So open your Bibles to 1 John chapter 2, and we'll take a look in the book.
Welcome to A Look in the Book. This program is brought to you by Bible Way Community Baptist Church in beautiful Irving, Texas, where our pastor is none other than Dr. Timothy J. Wilbert, Sr. This week, Pastor Wilbert bringing a series of messages on the book of 1 John. So get close to your radio and have a Bible ready and turn to 1 John chapter 2, beginning with verse number 18, as we take a look in the book.
That's the Antichrist. But he says, there's already the Antichrist is already here. You got some little Antichrists. In other words, what is I'm talking about when I say the Antichrist? The Antichrist is, number one, it is somebody that is in the place of Christ, or somebody who opposes Christ. Did you get it? Somebody who takes Jesus' seat. They sitting in Jesus' seat. Taking what's supposed to go to Jesus, they getting it. Somebody who opposes Christ. John said, that spirit is already here. Amen. I said that spirit is already here. Listen, let me break it down why people leave church in the last days. Can I break it down? And I want to give you three things as it relates to why people leave church in the last days. Number one, people leave church in these last days because God is pruning His church. Did you hear what I say? God is pruning His church. This same John that wrote 1 John also wrote St. John. And over in St. John chapter 15, verses 1 and 2, he says, I am the true vine. My Father is the husband. Every branch in me that bear not fruit, He take it away. And every branch that bears fruit, He purges it that it may bring forth more fruit. Listen. Jesus, first of all, in this parable, identifies the players in the parable. Did you notice? Jesus said, let me tell you what. He says, I am the true vine. He says, my Father... He identified him as the husbandman. That word husbandman means he's the caretaker of the garden. He's the one that plant the garden, and he's the one that oversee the garden. And he says that we are the branches. And he says that the Father, he comes as the inspector of the garden. So he comes and he inspect what he expect. He inspect, why? Because he expect us to grow some and produce some fruit. But if he comes and he inspect and he see that branch have not produced anything what he expect, he said, then I gotta do some surgery on it. I gotta cut it off. Why? Because it did not produce what he expected. Listen, God wants all of us, once you get saved, God expects for you to produce some fruit. If God come to his garden and he sees that you ain't producing no fruit, then God takes action. God gives some people, he give them time to produce fruit. And some folks just come to a church just for a season. And then after a season, they gone. Why? They didn't produce no fruit. Some folks, they come to a church for a little while and they produce for a little while. Then they stop producing fruit. Then God removes them. Some folks come to a church for a long while. And for a long time, they produce fruit. But all of a sudden, they get mad or get sad. And they try to sit down on God's program. Or they get jealous because for a long time, they was like the top dog there. But now somebody else is coming in. And they see that person as a threat to them. And so they get all upset and beside themselves, and they think they're going to sit down on God's program. God said, let me show them who the boss of this garden. And God removes them. Listen, we saw that in Saul, didn't we? For about 20, 25 years, Saul was being a good king, but Saul got full of himself. Because he was head and shoulder than everybody else. And rather than giving the praise to God, then Saul started trying to take all the praise for himself. And then he got this spirit of disobedience. He would no longer go and go on a mission for the Lord and do what God told him to do. And when God can't tell you what to do anymore, see, that's why we have in the Bible covenant the biggest thing, the highest thing, the greatest thing is obeying God. There's nothing bigger than obeying this Bible. Sometimes people, they say, I'm trying to figure out for what it is God wants me to do. He wants you to get in that Bible, read it, and then obey it. See, the will of God is not trying to go way over here or go way over there. But the will of God, the Bible says, is near thee, even in thy mouth. The word that we speak is right here. It's standing right before you. You're talking about Facebook. Get your face in this book. And that's why God raised up little David and said, since you ain't obey me, let me just bring somebody who will obey me. See, I don't care how long we done been in church. We are working for God. Anytime you think you're so big you can't obey, it won't be long before God remove you one way or another. God can remove you by weakening you. Yeah, he'll take away your car. He'll take away your job. Well, you can't get over there to the church. A God will put you on your back where you can't bother the church no more. A God will just go ahead and just take you on home. God is the gardener. He's over the garden. And so people leaving church in the last days is because God is pruning. He's pruning his church. But number two, God is proving. He's proving. He's proving his church. Turn back over here to 1 John again. Look here at verse number 18 and 19 again. Look what he says, little children. And when he's talking about little children, he's not talking about the kindergartners. He's talking about you. From the youngest to the old. He's talking to the whole church. Yeah. See, you can be 80 years old, but to God, you still a little child. Yeah. Yeah. John said, little children. And see, John was in his 90s or close to 90. And so when you 90-year-old or 70-year-old person, it's like a child to you. Little children, it is the last time, and as you have heard, that Antichrist shall come even now. There are many Antichrists whereby we know that it's the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us, but they went out that, here it is, they might be made manifested, that they were not of us. See, when people come in church, we are excited. When people join church, we are excited. But you don't know who just joined church. We get excited. We got us a new choir member. Oh, we got a new usher. We get all excited. We get excited about it. Oh, we got two more men gonna join our church. That's gonna bring it up to 10. You know, we get all excited. But we don't know them people from man on the moon. But God knows. And God is going to create situations that people going to show themselves. See, he says this is the time for the Antichrist. There's many Antichrists. Somebody may say, well, why in the world God allow these little Antichrists, the folks that oppose this God? I mean, why he allow them to be? Why he just won't mop them off? He going to mop them off one day. But right now, God is using them in order to test your commitment to him. See, anybody can say that they are committed to their church, to their pastor, to the mission of the Lord, when they ain't got a choice. But when you got a choice, then now you got to choose which way you gonna go. And that's what God does. God, he raises up the Antichrists. Even in your home, in the church, in the community, he raised them up in order to test you to see if you really committed. Number one, to coming to church, to doing the work of the church. Even test you to see, will you stay at that church or will you leave church? Oh, let me show you that. Number one, he'll raise up an Antichrist to test you to see whether or not you really want to come to church. Look, he did it in Paul's case over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 18. Paul says, wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again. But Satan hindered us. Paul says, I was trying. Paul, he started the church at Thessalonica. And he left to go do some other ministry. And then he tried to get back over there. But he said, every time I tried to get back over there, Satan hindered me. Every time I tried to go and see about this new church that I had started, Satan hindered me. Now, Paul could have stopped right there and said, well, I done tried. Matter of fact, we done tried several times. Silas, you know we tried. So-and-so, you know we tried. Y'all know we tried. Well, I mean, we done tried. But Paul didn't stop there. Notice what he did. He says, I can't get there. He said, but I'm going to send a representative. Look here in chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. He says, wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, I couldn't stand it no more, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone and send Timothy, our brother and minister of God and our fellow laborers in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith. Paul says, I couldn't get there, but I sent the best man there. I sent somebody that I had trained, Somebody, matter of fact, over in Philippians, Paul says, I can't find nobody else like Timothy. In other words, he sent his best person, his best minister over there to Thessalonians. See, the Lord lets us know there that Paul was really committed to those Thessalonians because he didn't let nothing stop him from helping those people one way or another. Hello, somebody. Yeah, see, a lot of time we ain't got no shoes and we don't go to church. I don't have the right colored shoes to wear with this colored dress, and we let that stop us from going to church. Well, honey, I stopped by to tell you, you weren't that committed to go to church. See, God is using the Antichrist. He'll use somebody right there in your family, but you can't let Rufus right there in your house stop you from going to church. You may have a hard taskmaster like Pharaoh on your job, but you can't let a hard taskmaster like Pharaoh stop you from going to church. Just like God bless you with that job, God can bless you with another job. That ain't the only job. God even show up with the Antichrist a lot of time in family and friends to test you to see if you really committed to not only going to church, but doing the church right where you at. Oh, I'm reminded over in Matthew chapter 16, Jesus and Peter was in conversation. Peter had just proclaimed Jesus as being the Messiah. He says, blessed art thou, Simon, my Jonah, flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you, but my Father in heaven revealed that to you. So one moment, God the Father was speaking to Peter. But then Jesus began to tell him about his will for his life. He says, I got to go there to Jerusalem, and I got to suffer, and I got to be persecuted, and I'm going to die. But 3 days later, I'll come back from the grave. But they didn't hear that last part, and Peter took him aside. And the Bible says Peter rebuked him. And Jesus turned to Peter, and he rebuked Peter and said, get behind me, Satan, for you are saying the things of man and not the things of God. Listen, one moment, the Spirit of God can be working in you. But if you ain't walking in the Spirit, the next moment, the devil say, my turn. And rather than helping God, you get in God's way and start trying to block God and oppose the things of God. And see, that's how the devil works. The devil will work through a family and friend and present to you an easy way out. Just like Peter had presented to Jesus an easy way out. But how many of you know God's way is not always the easy way? See, if God was just looking for an easy way, he would have gave Abraham a jeep to ride around in the desert in rather than walking in the desert. If God was looking for an easy way, he would already gave Noah a ship that was already built rather than having Noah and his three sons to work 120 years and build a boat on dry land. If God would have been just looking for an easy way, he would have gave Moses a helicopter in order to fly him up and down the mountain rather than him having to always walk up and down the mountain. See, God's way is not always the easy way. Isaiah said, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts is not like your thoughts. As the heaven are higher than the earth, so are my ways And so God often wants you to go the hard way to test your commitment to him. Anybody can go the easy way. But it takes a committed person to go the hard way. And so God, he'll raise up that Antichrist, somebody to oppose you, to even give you an easy way. Yeah. God will even use this spirit of Antichrist to test you to see whether or not you will stay at the church or leave the church. Yeah, yeah. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'm sorry. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Are y'all with me today? Look what it says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning with verse number 1. He says, this know also that in the last days, perilous times, troubled times shall come. But then notice, go down to verse 4, because he talks about all these different sins that's going to happen. I mean, it's just, and he's talking about the church. This is how it's going to look in the church. But I don't want to read 2 and 3 because it's so depressing how that's going to look in the church. But look at verse 4. Verse 4 says, because it ain't, don't really get no better in verse 4. It says, traitors. Think about it. What's a traitor? That's a person that will betray you. That's a person that will sell you out. People in the last day, we're talking about church folks now. We ain't talking about worldly folks. We're talking about church folks that's going to sell their own mama out. They'll sell their daddy out. They'll sell sister out, brother out. Yeah, they just a sellout. He says they are heavy, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. That's why they're selling folks out, because they love pleasure more than they love God. Having a form of godliness, denying the power thereof from such turn away. And really, beginning with verse number 4, he's really talking about that's how false preachers are. That's why he said they having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. They are wolves in sheep's clothing. They look like a sheep on the outside, but they are a wolf on the inside. And Paul said, from such turn away. Now God tell you to turn away when some ain't measuring up. But notice, rather than turn away, they open their doors to the false prophet. Verse 6 says, for of this sort are they which creep into houses. See, it's something about a false prophet. He's creepy. See, most of the time, when that false prophet show up, there's something that you don't, I mean, you just, I mean, there's some creepiness about him. But you try to shake that off, and the Bible says they was led captive. Silly women, laden with sin, led away with devourous lust. Lord have mercy. That's a sermon right there. Notice, these false prophets, God allowed false prophets to come up and come in a church, preach they lit message, and then silly women's following them. Silly women leave with a man that they don't even know. Why do they leave? Why do they follow? It's because they so laden with sin. They got a sin problem. Oh, it ain't so much with the church. The problem is with them. They got a sin problem. And they are looking for a quick fix. Let me tell you, there is no quick fix. Down the glory.
If you would like a copy of the message you have just heard in its entirety, would you please call the church at 972-257-3766. Again, that is 972-257-3766. Or visit our new website at alookinabook.com. Again, that is alookinabook.com. And come on and worship with us this Sunday morning at 11 o'clock at the exciting Bible Way Community Baptist Church. And until next time, let's take a look in the book.